Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Wiggins America.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
Wiggins America.
The only thing I'm going to need from you guys right now is a cup of coffee.
Wiggins.
Today's global economy waits for no man.
America.
Today's global business climate is like, whatever, dude.
Hey! Politics is a dirty game. I'm not sure we want to play.
There are forces here at work that you couldn't possibly understand. You have no idea how high up this goes.
Welcome to Wiggins America.
Let's get right to it. We got a great big show, full hour for you. At the very end of the show, I'm going to tease this right now because I think it's one of the most interesting things you're going to maybe ever hear. I don't know. I did research. This isn't just something that I found on the internet and I'm replaying for you and repackaging for you. This is something that I have put together from a whole lot of research. I have found two different prophecies about Donald Trump's attempted assassination. Both of them having to do with a bloodied right ear. One of them very, very detailed and accurate from April. And there's no way that these could be faked because I've got the timestamps on when they were given. That is all going to be at the end of the show. And I'll play you the full context of them too, because you may have seen one of these kind of popping around the internet a little bit, but the other one I'm almost guaranteeing you haven't. So stick around. That's all at the end of the show. We'll do it in the last, I don't know, 10 minutes of the show. So that is going to be awesome. Roy Wells, a good friend, is coming back into studio in the next segment. We're going to talk a little bit about the Biden COVID thing. And I'll tell you right now where I'm coming at from this thing. Gosh, what an incredible... Look, last weekend, I came in and did the show Saturday morning. Then the assassination attempt happened. Well, I immediately was on vacation after that. So I didn't get to, I apologize that I wasn't able to come and redo the show Sunday night. It was a repeat from Saturday. And I just haven't gotten to talk about that, and we will. Like, we're going to talk about that some, but I want to say right now, I'm trying to pack so much in here because there's so much happening. At that moment, I don't know whether or not you felt emotional. I was getting texts because I was in the middle of nowhere driving because we were on a short vacation. I was getting texts from people that usually some buddies of mine who are just constantly joking. I thought they were kidding. I didn't think that they were. The way they presented it wasn't like, hey, this has really happened. They just sort of like shot it out in the text group. So I didn't know that that was real until about 10 minutes in. And then trying to find anything about it in the middle of rural nowhere on a weekend was impossible. So it was a where were you moment. I really do believe that it was a where were you moment for everybody. But we'll talk about that a little bit with Roy. The COVID thing, Joe Biden, this weekend, hey, we're living it right now. Is Joe Biden going to drop out of this race? Everybody seems to think that it is a foregone conclusion that he is dropping out. I recommend waiting on that. And here's why. There's a possibility. Now, obviously, there is a strong possibility that he does drop out of this race. Mark Halperin has been reporting that his sources are saying he's going to drop out as soon as Monday, maybe even before. We'll see. But I hesitate to jump in on that because I also think it's very possible that all these sources, which are real, I'm not saying Mark Halperin and other Fox News people and other legit journalists are jumping the gun here. Their sources probably are saying that. But the sources are pushing that out there in spite of Joe Biden, that they're getting this narrative going because they need this narrative to be going, because they're trying every angle possible and a full court press to get him to step out of that race. Does that mean he won't? No. It just means, I mean, maybe this works. But I urge caution in saying, well, everybody's saying it, it must be true. Joe Biden's campaign is literally saying that it's not going to happen. Again, that doesn't mean anything either. But I just want to urge caution. Again, we're going to talk about this in just a second with Old Roy, who is anxiously chomping at the bit to come in. So we're going to a break here. We're going to come right back. Stay here.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Roy says that it's fine if he'd come in for an interview as long as we don't talk about politics.
Yeah.
Nasty stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to do top politics here. But, so this is not really political. Joe Biden. man, it's incredible. It's been a couple weeks since you've been here. I can't believe how much has happened. We always say, gosh, there's a lot happening. I cannot even begin to recount what we've missed in the last couple weeks. Because I think the last time you were in was right before the debate. Yeah. And so since the debate has happened, it's like the whole world, and I'm not talking about the United States, because it is United States politics, but it affects everybody in the world. Yeah. How much has happened in the last couple weeks? It is insane. And now the latest thing, and I'm just going to throw the latest thing at you, because there's so much we could catch up on, and we will just have to in subsequent weeks, because I'm doing an hour show now, and I'm still doing 2 hours of prep, like an idiot. Joe Biden has COVID. Yeah. What do you make of this now?
It gives him an excuse to self-isolate, in quotes.
Okay.
He needs downtime. He needs to back away. And they need to, the people around him need to figure out what the heck are we going to do. It's hard to do that real time when you're front and center. And the only excuse they're going to have to get him, last time they used the debate prep.
Yeah.
Was where he disappeared.
11
for,
days.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I shouldn't have traveled so much right before the debate.
Yeah.
And then stopped doing that for 11 days to recoup.
So this gives him.
Nobody's going to question.
He's an old dude. Yeah, he got a virus. He's got COVID. So it gives him that shield to disappear for a few days.
Right.
And
yeah, go ahead.
And it gives him the, because then it leaked out that he said, I guess, in private to somebody that if he got an illness, you know, that would affect things. It gives him an out.
Well, I think he was doing an interview when he said that.
Yeah.
So I don't
so
know.
It wasn't in private.
I don't think it was in private.
Yeah. But it gives him an out right now for some cover, and it gives him an excuse if they inevitably decide
well,
to
that's,
pull out.
Okay, that's exactly what I'm asking you, though, because that's the both roads. Some people are saying, well, he's got COVID right now so that he can disappear for a little bit, and then come back and go, yeah, you know what? I am really having to reconsider my health. Maybe I should step mm-hmm. down. That's one theory.
Right.
That's not mine. I still think, and I could be wrong, but I still think that he is fully intending to be the nominee and run for president. And this is a way to step out of the limelight for 10 days and avoid everything going on. Don't have to do any speaking engagement. You got COVID. You got to isolate, right? Then, after what, a week or more of doing nothing and being completely isolated, he's like a week away from the nomination. So I think it's just eating up time where he's out of the way and nobody can call on him to do anything, and it's a sympathy thing.
I agree with you. I think we're on the same page on the first part.
Okay.
It gives him cover. I agree his inner circle probably is thinking the way you're thinking. But you had Schumer come out and say they're going to delay the nomination process or something.
Oh, I didn't see this.
Yeah. So they're, well, the virtual
okay.
part of it.
Well, because they, and this was always a question, whether they were going to do it at the beginning. And so the convention would just be kind of like the RNC is right now.
Yeah.
They did it first. Yeah. You already knew. Or at the very end of the convention, which is what they traditionally had done.
Right.
So he's saying they're going to do it at the end. Is that what?
He's just saying they're not going to do it at the beginning.
Okay. So, to give it more time is what that
right.
is, it means. Okay.
So, but here's the other part of that. I think even within the Democratic Party, they're split on since the assassination attempt and all this other stuff that's happening, it's snowballing out of control and they all see it. And I think there's a group who are saying, who even 5 days ago were saying get out, are saying now let's not waste another candidate. We're going to lose anyway. Just leave him in.
Oh, I see what I haven't heard this.
And let him lose. And then we don't have to waste another candidate. Not like, I don't think even the Democrats think losing. Kamala losing would be a waste because she couldn't
She's
win anyway.
She's not going anywhere anyway.
But there's the down ticket stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That is what they're really worried about. And so leave Biden in. He's going to have his loyalty and the anti-Trump people. If you throw in a Gavin Newsom with all of the bad press that's coming out of California, mm-hmm. you throw in Kamala, you throw in some strange person out of nowhere, people aren't going to show up on their side, which will affect the down ticket. So I think there's a camp of even people who were very, like, almost over the fence saying, get out, get out, get out, are now saying with the other stuff, as you mentioned, that's happened in the last few days, they're like, stay in, because if you lose, it doesn't hurt us, down ticket, and we're not out a candidate.
Wow. That's okay. Hey, it's why you're here, is to bring the news, because I have not heard that theory at all. Although things are changing day by day.
Right.
I mean, that could have been something that you're like, yeah, Tuesday they weren't saying that, but Thursday they are.
Yeah, right.
But I will agree with you on one thing for sure. They don't have a great backup. You know, everybody's like, oh, we got to bring in Gretchen Whitmer. I'm like, Gretchen Whitmer?
Yeah.
Gavin Newsom? These people aren't good candidates. I Josh Shapiro keeps being thrown around. Yeah. Like, he's the governor of Pennsylvania. Like, that's your guy. Who is this guy?
Well,
maybe he's great. I don't know. If we're a Democrat, anyway.
That's the other side saying, okay, if he leaves or we get him out, Kamala moves up, Shapiro becomes her VP.
Yeah, I've heard that, too.
So, I think that's... If they think Shapiro could be something down the road,
they're not going to waste him.
They're not going to waste him.
Man, it is a wild ride. I think sometimes, you know, I have no idea what my career holds. Media is just so fickle. Like, mm-hmm. I've been in 4-5 different media outlets before this. And I keep thinking, man, I don't know how long I'll be able to do that. I'll do this as long as I can,
mm-hmm.
because I enjoy it so much. I can't wait to someday say, yeah, hey, grandkids, I was in politics. I was in political talk radio from 2018 through 2020, whatever. And they're going to be like, whoa. Like, yeah, I hit it right at the right time, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's just amazing how fast this stuff is happening. And before, here's the thing, it was crazy. And people were starting to just be kind of glazed over by how crazy it was. Mm-hmm. And then it stepped up 5 more notches to where you just couldn't be glazed over about it anymore. You had to participate in this stuff. I was getting texts. I mean, this is stuff that we'll have to break and talk about this other stuff maybe next week. Mm-hmm. But there were, I'm getting texts from people on Saturday, last Saturday, because my show, so the show airs Saturday morning.
Yeah.
All this happened Saturday afternoon, and I was on the road. Like, I was on a vacation by then, because the Sunday night version is the repeat of the Saturday. And I just, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't, I would have come in and done the Sunday night live, but I was on vacation, and I was like, I can't, I'm with my son, there's nothing I can do. But I'm getting texts from people I haven't heard from in years going, hey, dude, are you okay? I'm like, am I okay? I'm fine. The president was almost assassinated. But it was like it was hitting them, and they wanted somebody to ask. Like, yeah. I don't know how to express this. I know you're kind of close to this. Everything okay with you? Like,
right.
Like, yeah, man, everything's good. Let's be prayerful, you know?
Yeah. Well, like you, I can tell my grandkids that I was kind of, I was talk radio adjacent.
Yeah, you were.
That one week in July, when everything happened.
And like a couple people will even come up to me every now and then and be like, you know who I like is that Trisha. They don't ever mention you. Sorry about that. I kind of set that up as if I was going to mention you.
But no, that's no. That's fine.
And by the way, Trisha had her baby.
Yay.
Yeah. That's congratulations. Exciting. I don't think we've mentioned that yet, but we've been internally high-fiving. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with a little bit of... so we had the, okay, Trump is Hitler conversation. Brad Young, attorney, and I, earlier this week, looked at, hey, he's Hitler, he's a dictator, but now we just don't want anybody being hurt. There's a little bit of a logic loop there. We're going to play that next here on Wiggins America.
Before I give you the Twilight Zone-like twist, are you hearing, Ryan, the same thing, that it's the rhetoric that caused President Trump to come under this assassination attempt?
Yeah, I don't know that the media is directly saying one led to the other, but they're definitely running parallel. They're saying, hey, the temperature's just so high that, of course, something like this was bound to happen. You know, things like that. So I don't know that they're saying Crooks or whatever his name is did this because so-and-so said this. But I do see them trying to tie them together.
Mm-hmm. But think about all of the comparisons that we've heard for the last 8 years of Trump being compared to Hitler, of Trump being a threat to democracy. How many of our current politicians have said that Trump is a threat to democracy? Now, here's the idea that I want to throw out there for a discussion. We're told by the left that on January 6th, it was Donald Trump's words on January 6th that led to the January 6th riot. I don't call it an insurrection because it wasn't, but it was a riot. And yet, those same left, in fact, I had a conversation with a liberal friend of mine yesterday, and I brought up this idea, and initially he rejected it, and then when I kept pushing it, he finally said, I have no response, because that means I win. But here's the idea. If January 6th was caused by Trump's rhetoric, then it must be true, if the rhetoric caused the riot, then it must also be true that the rhetoric from the left comparing Trump to Hitler, because who wouldn't kill Hitler? If you could go back in time to 1939, 1935, 1933, who wouldn't shoot Hitler to stop World War II? Anyone would do that. So if you compare him to Hitler, if you say he's a threat to democracy, then the only way to eliminate that threat is to shoot him. But the left rejects the fact that their rhetoric caused the assassination attempt, while at the same time saying that Trump's rhetoric caused January 6th. My point is, both of those are either true or both of those are untrue, but you can't pick and choose and say that, well, I believe that Trump caused the January 6th insurrection. You can't say that and logically then say calling Trump Hitler for the last 8 years had nothing whatsoever to do with someone trying to shoot him in the head over the weekend. Am I right or am I wrong?
Okay, let me play the role of your liberal friend.
Okay.
And see if I can poke holes in that. Because my initial reaction is, yeah. But okay, are you saying that the rhetoric attached to Donald Trump, well, let me say, that Trump's rhetoric throughout the entire 4 years is what caused January 6th? Or just that day?
Well, the left really pins it on the January 6th. That's why he's been indicted for what he said on the Capitol grounds on January 6th. He has been literally indicted for the words that he said as a cause of the so-called insurrection. I agree it was a riot. There's no way it was an insurrection. But regardless of how you want to label it, he's been indicted for literally what he said that day.
Okay, so you are saying that it is the things he was saying on January 6th that caused January 6th.
Well, that's what the indictment says.
That's what they're saying.
That's what the left says. So, that's what Jack Smith is asserting in court.
Then if I were trying to poke holes in your argument, I would say, well, that was all heat of the moment things. These are ongoing things that are just sort of like vague. You can't really pin any particular person down. It's all media. It's all kind of like this big cloud of conversation that definitely has painted him as dictator, fascist, Hitler, all these words that we right. constantly hear. I mean, we're still hearing them now, not just before the assassination attempt. We saw them happening in Milwaukee
yes.
yesterday from
yes.
parade and marchers who were marching against Donald Trump saying the same thing now.
Exactly.
So obviously that's out there. But it's a little harder to me to pin down on any one person. It seems like a lot of people, whereas they're saying this is singularly Trump and singularly that day.
Right. But it's a logical fallacy to assume that two things that happen at the same time or near the same time are causally related. For example, if I put in a new mailbox at my house and no elephants run through and charge through my property, am I then to conclude that installing a new mailbox at your house will prevent elephants from coming through your house? No, they're unrelated, but they just are causally connected temporally, but not causally. So when you look at what Trump said on January 6th, the harshest word he said was, you have to fight for your country. That's the harshest thing he said. But you look at the rhetoric of the left for the last 8 years.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before I give you the Twilight Zone-like twist, are you hearing, Ryan, the same thing, that it's the rhetoric that caused President Trump to come under this assassination attempt?
Yeah, I don't know that the media is directly saying one led to the other, but they're definitely running parallel. They're saying, hey, the temperature's just so high that, of course, something like this was bound to happen. You know, things like that. So I don't know that they're saying Crooks, or whatever his name is, did this because so-and-so said this. But I do see them trying to tie them together.
Mm-hmm. But think about all of the comparisons that we've heard for the last 8 years of Trump being compared to Hitler, of Trump being a threat to democracy. How many of our current politicians have said that Trump is a threat to democracy? Now, here's the idea that I want to throw out there for a discussion. We're told by the left that on January 6th, it was Donald Trump's words on January 6th that led to the January 6th riot. I don't call it an insurrection because it wasn't, but it was a riot. And yet, those same left, in fact, I had a conversation with a liberal friend of mine yesterday, and I brought up this idea, and initially he rejected it, and then when I kept pushing it, he finally said, I have no response, because that means I win. But here's the idea. If January 6th was caused by Trump's rhetoric, then it must be true, if the rhetoric caused the riot, then it must also be true that the rhetoric from the left comparing Trump to Hitler, because who wouldn't kill Hitler? If you could go back in time to 1939, 1935, 1933, who wouldn't shoot Hitler to stop World War II? Anyone would do that. So if you compare him to Hitler, if you say he's a threat to democracy, then the only way to eliminate that threat is to shoot him. But the left rejects the fact that their rhetoric caused the assassination attempt, while at the same time saying that Trump's rhetoric caused January 6th. My point is, both of those are either true or both of those are untrue, but you can't pick and choose and say that, well, I believe that Trump caused the January 6th insurrection. You can't say that and logically then say calling Trump Hitler for the last 8 years had nothing whatsoever to do with someone trying to shoot him in the head over the weekend. Am I right or am I wrong?
Okay, let me play the role of your liberal friend.
Okay.
And see if I can poke holes in that. Because my initial reaction is, yeah. But okay, are you saying that the rhetoric attached to Donald Trump, well, let me see, that Trump's rhetoric throughout the entire 4 years is what caused January 6th, or just that day?
Well, the left really pins it on the January 6th. That's why he's been indicted for what he said on the Capitol grounds on January 6th. He has been literally indicted for the words that he said as a cause of the so-called insurrection. I agree it was a riot. There's no way it was an insurrection. But regardless of how you want to label it, he's been indicted for literally what he said that day.
Okay, so you are saying that it is the things he was saying on January 6th that caused January 6th.
Well, that's what the indictment
that's
says.
That's what they're saying.
That's what the left says. So, that's what Jack Smith is asserting in court.
Then if I were trying to poke holes in your argument, I would say, well, that was all heat of the moment things. These are ongoing things that are just sort of like vague. You can't really pin any particular person down. It's all media. It's all kind of like this big cloud of conversation that definitely has painted him as dictator, fascist, Hitler, all these words that we right. constantly hear. I mean, we're still hearing them now, not just before the assassination attempt. We saw them happening in Milwaukee
yes.
yesterday from yes. parade and marchers who were marching against Donald Trump saying the same thing now.
Exactly.
So obviously that's out there. But it's a little harder to me to pin down on any one person. It seems like a lot of people, whereas they're saying this is singularly Trump and singularly that day.
Right. But it's a logical fallacy to assume that two things that happen at the same time or near the same time are causally related. For example, if I put in a new mailbox at my house and no elephants run through and charge through my property, am I then to conclude that installing a new mailbox at your house will prevent elephants from coming through your house? No, they're unrelated, but they just are causally connected temporally, but not causally. So when you look at what Trump said on January 6th, the harshest word he said was, you have to fight for your country. That's the harshest thing he said. But you look at the rhetoric of the left for the last 8 years, it's been literally, the only way our country survives is if you kill Donald Trump. Far more harsh, comparing him to Hitler, comparing him to a threat to democracy. If there's a threat to democracy, what do you have to do? You have to remove the threat, right? But the left ignores, denies, and rejects the idea that they have any culpability in causing the assassination attempt, while at the same time asserting that Trump's mild language of literally one word saying you have to fight for this country is solely and exclusively responsible for January 6th. And to me, I don't see that you can have it both ways.
Yeah, and I would point out that he also talked about peacefully, patriotically.
Yes.
I mean, that you take any context from that speech, and you have a very, very strong argument. It's not even really an argument. It's just the truth. Like, it's if you just read the transcript. But anyway, you open talking about Twilight Zone. There actually are Twilight Zone episodes, and I don't know about the original, but I'm this big of a Twilight Zone fan, that the 2002 version, there's been four versions of Twilight Zone.
Okay.
There's been the original.
I remember the one in the 90s.
With Rod Serling. There was the 80s version.
I remember that one.
With a Grateful Dead opening, which was really weird and kind of creepy. And then there was a 2002 version that was on UPN right after I wasn't working, or right before I was working there. And it was only on for one season.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
And the person or the band that did the opening, because the famous song is what I was like, ooh, who's going to do the song? That was Korn did that song. And then they just did a version recently with Jordan Peele. So the version in 2002 actually had an episode with Katherine Heigl where she is sent back in time by some whatever means, like, oh, we've developed time travel. We're going to send you, Katherine Heigl, back in time to kill Hitler as a baby. And that was the plot of the whole episode. And will she, won't she? Because it's just a baby. You know, it's a very innocent baby, but will she kill it? So the argument that Trump is Hitler, because you do hear that all the time. He's a dictator. He's a fascist. He's just like Hitler. He's the second coming of Hitler. If Hitler were around today, who would argue that we would be better off having gotten rid of him? I mean, we would all say, yes, the world would be better if Hitler had not been on this earth. So getting rid of Hitler is almost a moot point. Like, you almost everybody agrees with that.
Sure.
So now the Democrats and the message carriers in the party, more than anything, are in a weird position of having said for 8 years, Trump is Hitler. He is a threat to everything you hold dear. And yet they have to say, but don't kill him. They're in a logical loop where if he really was Hitler, they'd have to support the idea that actually killing him would be good.
Yes.
They would have to say that.
They would have to say that, which validates my argument that if you're associating Trump with Hitler, you're essentially validating that the man should be killed.
Yes.
And someone actually acted upon that messaging to try to take out a person whom he was told was the equal to Hitler. And the left says, no, that had nothing to do with it. But Trump using the word fight on January 6th caused the so-called insurrection. It's a preposterous, logical incongruity that cannot be resolved if you're intellectually honest.
And now you're seeing all of these same people back off of that argument that, oh, he's a dictator, he's fascist, he's Hitler, and say, no, we ought to turn the temperature down. Well, I agree with that sentiment. That's good. I'm glad that they're doing that.
Me too.
But by doing that, they're acknowledging, actually, we were lying.
Yes.
We didn't actually believe he was Hitler
yes.
or that much of a threat.
Right. Because if you really believed, let's use the logical consistency here. If you are a member of the left or a member of the left-wing media, which I know are synonymous, and you take the position that Trump is Hitler, as Joe Scarborough has said publicly, as has many celebrities and people on the left, if you believe that, then today you can't, the only answer you have today is, I'm sorry the assassination didn't work. I'm sorry the shooter failed. If you really believe Trump is Hitler, then today you're sorry that the shooter missed. And I got a text from an acquaintance of mine, not a friend. I got a text from an acquaintance of mine. You remember the old show Get Smart, right?
Yeah.
The famous line from Get Smart was, missed it by that much.
Yeah.
And he sent me that meme. And I called him. I called him out on it. I said, this is horrible, but at least you're being intellectually honest. That you still want, you wanted Trump to be killed before, you want him to be killed now. But everyone now that knows it's publicly unpopular to say, oh, I'm sorry that the guy didn't get assassinated, who knows that that's publicly frowned upon to say that, they're being intellectually dishonest if they actually compared him to Hitler. Because if he was Hitler, then he should have been killed.
And it lasted a day. I mean, the let's turn the temperature down lasted Sunday.
Yeah.
and that was it. And it's just right back to where it was from the people saying we should turn it down. I mean, Joe Biden, again, don't know what kind of faculties he's got. So maybe he doesn't remember. And I'm not saying that to be mean, but really, maybe he doesn't even really remember saying it. He was reading a script or reading a teleprompter or something. But he then did an interview with, I think, Lester Holt.
Yeah, I saw the interview this
yesterday.
Morning.
And he was talking about Trump dictator in that thing.
Right.
So you're like, I don't believe anything that you ever say. You're just opportunist. You're just going to say what you want the moment. I find myself in a unique position as somebody who is a Christian and comes from a charismatic background, but I'm very, very skeptical of it. And so maybe that's why I'm in the position that I'm in here. I don't know. Who knows? But I've definitely heard a lot of people doing prophecy and gifts of the Spirit before. And I've seen many of them fully accurate. I've also seen a bunch that were just a bunch of gobbledygook and just words. And they make you feel good. And you go away and you're like, well, don't even know what that was. But hey, it's okay. But I find myself very skeptical of them because even though I've seen some that were totally on par and totally accurate, I've never really seen anybody in a large scale predict world events very well. And that's fascinating, because if somebody could do that, I would be very interested to hear what they would be saying about other things as well. So, again, I find myself in the position of being somebody who follows this stuff regularly, like pretty closely, but doesn't believe the vast majority of it. So here we are, and I've, again, because I've watched this stuff for so long, there's a guy named Dana Coverstone, who, when all the COVID stuff was breaking out, he had a prophecy that kind of went very viral about predicting that all this was going to happen. Well, the only thing that they have recorded of that prophecy is people saying, yes, I heard it, and yes, that's accurate. But they didn't have it recorded. So it's like, okay, well, I guess I could just say that it was true. But he got kind of famous because of that in that world. And so I followed to see, you know, well, how accurate is he? No, let's test him. Never really saw anything else from him that I could prove until the Trump attempted assassination. Now, this is the thing. A lot of these are like this, where you go, is that, like, is it really accurate? Or is it just you say enough things and then sometimes it kind of hits? You tell me.
He was in handcuffs, and one ear was bleeding a very bright red, a not normal blood red, or the color of blood that you would see flowing. It was a very bright red blood, and the other ear was bruised to the point that it was just black and blue, like he'd been like if you were in an accident or car accident or something, and been hit by a 2x4, it seemed. His ear was just black and blue, bruised, deeply, deeply bruised. His eyes were very bloodshot, and he appeared to barely be standing on his own. Matter of fact, the sergeant at arms was directly behind him, holding him up, and was whispering into his right ear. He would occasionally squeeze his right arm as well, and the former president would wince, almost like he was hurting. He was in pain. And he would almost go to his knees every time that the sergeant at arms would squeeze his right arm. And suddenly the former president pushed himself up towards closer to where from where he was. He stood up and went forward quickly. And he suddenly spoke out loud and he said, "It's not me they hate, it's you. It's not me they hate, it's you."
All right. So that is from that is from January of 2021. So pretty long time ago. It was right after the inauguration of Joe Biden that he recorded that. You can see it for yourself if you want to. Type in Dana Coverstone and a whole bunch of these things will come up. But again, there's a lot of them. And you go, well, is that really something? I mean, it's the very beginning that's interesting.
He was in handcuffs and one ear was bleeding a very bright red, a not normal blood red.
Okay. So which, you know, we've seen that. So, okay, you go, well, maybe there's something there. I don't know. Maybe you're picking up something, but I can't tell really if it's everything. I have no idea. So then this guy comes along, and this is what's making the sort of viral news in the world of charismatic Christianity. Brandon Biggs, never heard of this guy before the Trump assassination attempt last weekend, but he has clips that are making the rounds. Now, I'm not going to play the one that is the famous one. I'm going to play the stuff around it first. And I'll tell you, if you look into this stuff, you hear a lot of things like this where they use language like new season and realms and acceleration. And you're like, what does that even mean? It's just a bunch of words. And so when I first looked this up, I just immediately was like, okay.
There's going to be an acceleration of things, even more so from what it was from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. He said, but this will be a time of great acceleration. And he said, you'll see acceleration in the financial realm. And he said, you're going to see acceleration in the politics, and you're going to see acceleration in war. And he told me, he said, these things are going to, he said, for my son's return is imminent.
Okay, so none of that stuff you can prove false, but you really can't prove it all either. It's just there. And that's the way the vast majority of modern prophets are, is it's as much of that kind of stuff where you go, okay, I mean, it sounds very horoscopy. There's a passage in the Bible that actually says, if people are going to speak in tongues, you better have an interpreter if you're going to do it publicly. Otherwise, you're just the sounding of a gong. Well, that's what a lot of this is, because it's just a bunch of whatever. But Brandon Biggs, that's not why he got famous. This next clip is right before. Now, these were given, by the way, in April of this year. And you can see this for yourself. It's all on YouTube. It's time-stamped. These were given in April.
And they were bringing forth a new patriotism upon the nation. And it was coming, it was being birthed, and it just kept spreading like fire all throughout America, all throughout. And I saw Trump rising up. And then I saw an attempt on his life. This bullet flew by his ear, and it came so close to his head that it busted his eardrum. And I saw he fell to his knees during this time frame, and he started worshiping the Lord. He got radically born again during this time frame. I'm talking, people say he's saved now, but he becomes really on fire for Jesus for what I saw coming.
Now listen, if you go public in April of this year, and you say this,
this bullet flew by his ear, and it came so close to his head that it busted his eardrum.
Okay, if you say that, you got my attention, because this was in April. Obviously, nobody knew this was going to happen. You're picking up on something there, bro. I don't know what you got, but I like what you have to say. And so that's the clip that has been making the rounds, that everybody's like, whoa, okay. What's that all about? I figured I'd give you a little context about what else he says, because when you got my attention, you got my attention.
And then I saw people interceding when I saw him winning the presidency through great, the Lord showed me it would go clear into the summer. Great persecution would come on him through the judges and through the law and all these people trying to sue him and all this stuff. But there would be a stop to it, and their things would start to break free, come toward the fall. And then I saw him winning the election through the Patriots coming out and voting.
I love this kind of stuff because it's provable. You know, by November 6th, hopefully, if it's not a long recount or something, we will know whether this is accurate or not. Now, it's a 50-50 shot, too, because you pretty much knew the candidates at that point. But when you say there's an attempt on his life and the bullet will hit him in the right ear, that is incredible. That is an accurate prophecy. And I want to highlight it because it's not that common that this happens. So again, I wanted to hear what else this guy had to say. And this is pretty much the fullness of it.
And then there will be a great economy crash. Yeah. I saw they had a great economy plan, a crash. Yeah. Worse than the Great Depression. And the Lord warned me about this. It would be a great dark time. But I saw paddles coming upon America's soil, like a shocking of the soil. And I saw Donald Trump praying in the office of the Oval Office. And he was weeping before the Lord with his hands on his head like this, but he was weeping. And there was ministers and people. I don't know if they are senators or congress people or whatever. I just saw them pacing and back and forth inside of the White House, the White House, but it's the Oval Office. Yeah. And they were interceding all inside there, and I could feel the presence of the Lord so strong on this. And then I could see that darkness that was the heaviness upon America with the financial crisis of what I saw coming. It started to lift above the trees, and I saw the blue and the things coming back out, and the green times and the good times coming back again. But the Lord said it would be forth a time of a season of a shaking, and it would be a shakening to awaken. And in this, basically that he was not done with America. There would be a great revival come, and it's not all doom and gloom. That's what he said.
And I stopped the clip there, but I really should have left it go because another 5 seconds. And he says, don't call this a judgment. This is a correction. I don't know how you take that part of it. The first part to me is the get your attention part. That's an accurate prophecy, that first one. The rest of it remains to be seen. So how do you deal with that? If you believe that, how do you deal with it? I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I can just tell you that if all this is going to happen, we kind of knew America's going to go through some tough stuff. Electing Donald Trump isn't going to be like, all right, now we're done. America is in a dark place. I mean, we've got to correct course, and the course correction is probably not going to be pleasant. What is that going to look like? I don't know. He seems to be giving a vision for what it may look like. So I say, hey, if we got to go through it and that the other side's good, praise God. If this is something that you want to share with somebody, because I can imagine that there will be some people, maybe you, that want to share this segment in particular with some people, we'll have it up on the podcast here in just a minute. Wiggins America. You type that in and you will find this and the entire show today. We'll see you next week.
Get more at 971talk.com.
I find myself in a unique position as somebody who is a Christian and comes from a charismatic background, but I'm very, very skeptical of it. And so maybe that's why I'm in the position that I'm in here. I don't know. Who knows? But I've definitely heard a lot of people doing prophecy and gifts of the Spirit before. And I've seen many of them fully accurate. I've also seen a bunch that were just a bunch of gobbledygook and just words. And they make you feel good. And you go away and you're like, well, don't even know what that was. But hey, it's okay. But I find myself very skeptical of them because even though I've seen some that were totally on par and totally accurate, I've never really seen anybody in a large scale predict world events very well. And that's fascinating because if somebody could do that, I would be very interested to hear what they would be saying about other things as well. So, again, I find myself in the position of being somebody who follows this stuff regularly, like pretty closely, but doesn't believe the vast majority of it. So here we are, and I've, again, because I've watched this stuff for so long, there was a guy named Dana Coverstone, who when all the COVID stuff was breaking out, he had a prophecy that kind of went very viral about predicting that all this was going to happen. Well, the only thing that they have recorded of that prophecy is people saying, yes, I heard it, and yes, that's accurate. But they didn't have it recorded. So it's like, okay, well, I guess I could just say that it was true. But he got kind of famous because of that in that world. And so I followed to see, you know, well, how accurate is he? You know, let's test him. Never really saw anything else from him that I could prove until the Trump attempted assassination. Now, this is the thing. A lot of these are like this, where you go, is that, like, is it really accurate? Or if is it just you say enough things and then sometimes it kind of hits? You tell me.
He was in handcuffs and one ear was bleeding a very bright red, a not normal blood red or the color of blood that you would see flowing. It was a very bright red blood. And the other ear was bruised to the point that it was just black and blue. Like he'd been like if you were in an accident or car accident or something and been hit by a 2x4, it seemed. His ear was just black and blue, bruised, deeply, deeply bruised. His eyes were very bloodshot and he appeared to barely be standing on his own. Matter of fact, the sergeant at arms was directly behind him, holding him up, and was whispering into his right ear. He would occasionally squeeze his right arm as well, and the former president would wince, almost like he just he would like he was hurting. He was in pain. And he would almost go to his knees every time that the sergeant at arms would squeeze his right arm. And suddenly the former president pushed himself up towards closer to where he from where he was. He stood up and went forward quickly. And he suddenly spoke out loud and he said, it's not me they hate, it's you. It's not me they hate, it's you.
All right, so that is from January of 2021. So pretty long time ago. It was right after the inauguration of Joe Biden that he recorded that. You can see it for yourself if you want to. Type in Dana Coverstone and a whole bunch of these things will come up. But again, there's a lot of them. And you go, well, is that really something? I mean, it's the very beginning that's interesting.
He was in handcuffs and one ear was bleeding a very bright red, a not normal blood red.
Okay. So which, you know, we've seen that. So, okay, you go, well, maybe there's something there. I don't know. Maybe you're picking up something, but I can't tell really if it's everything. I have no idea. So then this guy comes along, and this is what's making the sort of viral news in the world of charismatic Christianity. Brandon Biggs, never heard of this guy before the Trump assassination attempt last weekend, but he has clips that are making the rounds. Now, I'm not going to play the one that is the famous one. I'm going to play the stuff around it first. And I'll tell you, if you look into this stuff, you hear a lot of things like this where they use language like new season and realms and acceleration. And you're like, what does that even mean? It's just a bunch of words. And so when I first looked this up, I just immediately was like, okay.
There's going to be an acceleration of things, even more so from what it was from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. He said, but this will be a time of great acceleration. And he said, you'll see acceleration in the financial realm. And he said, you're going to see acceleration in the politics, and you're going to see acceleration in war. And he told me, he said, these things are going to, it's like, he said, for my son's return is imminent.
Okay, so none of that stuff you can prove false, but you really can't prove it all either. It's just there. And that's the way the vast majority of modern prophets are, is it's as much of that kind of stuff where you go, okay, I mean, it sounds very horoscopy. There's a passage in the Bible that actually says, if people are going to speak in tongues, you better have an interpreter if you're going to do it publicly. Otherwise, you're just the sounding of a gong. Well, that's what a lot of this is, because it's just a bunch of whatever. But Brandon Biggs, that's not why he got famous. This next clip is right before. Now, these were given, by the way, in April of this year. And you can see this for yourself. It's all on YouTube. It's time-stamped. These were given in April.
And they were bringing forth a new patriotism upon the nation. And it was coming, it was being birthed, and it just kept spreading like fire all throughout America, all throughout. And I saw Trump rising up. And then I saw an attempt on his life. This bullet flew by his ear, and it came so close to his head that it busted his eardrum. And I saw he fell to his knees during this time frame, and he started worshiping the Lord. He got radically born again during this time frame. I'm talking, people say he's saved now, but he becomes really on fire for Jesus for what I saw coming.
Now listen, if you go public in April of this year and you say this,
this bullet flew by his ear, and it came so close to his head that it busted his eardrum.
Okay, if you say that, you got my attention, because this was in April. Obviously, nobody knew this was going to happen. You're picking up on something there, bro. I don't know what you got, but I like what you have to say. And so that's the clip that has been making the rounds, that everybody's like, whoa, okay. What's that all about? I figured I'd give you a little context about what else he says, because when you got my attention, you got my attention.
And then I saw people interceding when he, and I see him, I saw him winning the presidency through great, the Lord showed me it would go clear into the summer. Great persecution would come on him through the judges and through the law and all these people trying to sue him and all this stuff. But there would be a stop to it, and their things would start to break free, come toward the fall. And then I saw him winning the election through the Patriots coming out and voting.
I love this kind of stuff because it's provable. You know, by November 6th, hopefully, if it's not a long recount or something, we will know whether this is accurate or not. Now, it's a 50-50 shot, too, because you pretty much knew the candidates at that point. But when you say there's an attempt on his life and the bullet will hit him in the right ear, that is incredible. That is an accurate prophecy. And I want to highlight it because it's not that common that this happens. So again, I wanted to hear what else this guy had to say, and this is pretty much the fullness of it.
And then there will be a great economy crash. Yeah. I saw they had a great economy plan, a crash, yeah. Worse than the Great Depression. And the Lord warned me about this. It would be a great dark time. But I saw paddles coming upon America's soil, like a shocking of the soil. And I saw Donald Trump praying in the office of the Oval Office. And he was weeping before the Lord with his hands on his head like this, but he was weeping. And there was ministers and people. I don't know if they are senators or congresspeople or whatever. I just saw them pacing and back and forth inside of the White House, the White House, but it's the Oval Office, yeah. And they were interceding all inside there, and I could feel the presence of the Lord so strong on this. And then I could see that darkness that was the heaviness upon America with the financial crisis of what I saw coming. It started to lift above the trees, and I saw the blue and the things coming back out, and the green times and the good times coming back again. But the Lord said it would be forth a time of a season of a shaking, and it would be a shakening to awaken. And in this, basically that he was not done with America. There would be a great revival come, and it's not all doom and gloom. That's what he said.
And I stopped the clip there, but I really should have left it go because another 5 seconds. And he says, don't call this a judgment. This is a correction. I don't know how you take that part of it. The first part to me is the get your attention part. That's an accurate prophecy, that first one. The rest of it remains to be seen. So how do you deal with that? If you believe that, how do you deal with it? I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I can just tell you that if all this is going to happen, we kind of knew America's going to go through some tough stuff. Electing Donald Trump isn't going to be like, all right, now we're done. America is in a dark place. I mean, we've got to correct course, and the course correction is probably not going to be pleasant. What is that going to look like? I don't know. He seems to be giving a vision for what it may look like. So I say, hey, if we got to go through it and that the other side's good, praise God. If this is something that you want to share with somebody, because I can imagine that there will be some people, maybe you, that want to share this segment in particular with some people, we'll have it up on the podcast here in just a minute. Wiggins America, you type that in and you will find this and the entire show today. We'll see you next week.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.